Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Moto Casino is pure American energy. Born in the USA and with the same 1776 spirit that built this country. Moto, America's social casino, is celebrating that freedom with a 1 million sweeps coin prize giveaway. One lucky American is going to win 1 million sweeps coins. So what are you waiting for? Spin now on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. TD Teron Davenport will join us in 1 hour. He was in Minnesota for all of the joint practices. He was at Minnesota for the preseason game on Saturday night. So we'll get TD's full breakdown on everything that he saw in Minnesota for the preseason game. But a little bit of news. It was announced over the weekend that the joint practices between the Titans and the New England Patriots were canceled. So scary scene on Saturday night. It was Saturday night, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night, New England preseason game, rookie corner Isaiah Bolden was hit and was motionless laying on the field. And it was a terrifying scene. And I went back and I watched the clip over and over and over again, and I couldn't really see what happened, but it looked like he just got clipped in the head. And it was, you know, a totally fair, totally legal hit. Just one of those weird freak things, but he was laying motionless on the field. And it was very scary and shocking. And I think that after the events of the Bills-Bengals game last season on Monday Night Football with DeMar Hamlin, I think after that, we're all a little bit more sensitive, and we're all maybe a little bit more reactive to when a scary injury like that happens on the field. So, scary scene with Isaiah Bolden with the Patriots game on Saturday night. Luckily, all of the reports have said that he's going to be okay, that he had movement in his lower extremities, and it may just be a severe concussion. So, good sign there that all looks good on Isaiah Bolden's front. You know, medically at least, that he's going to be okay. But the Patriots put out a statement that night that said after undergoing a series of evaluations and being held for overnight observations, Patriots cornerback Isaiah Bolden has been released from the hospital in Green Bay, but that they were going to cancel practices with the Tennessee Titans. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this earlier, D-Mace, about the decision to cancel those practices. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we were. And it wasn't a hit. He ran into his own player. He went down to try to make a low tackle, and you know, I think it might have been the safety or the linebacker
like
was coming out.
Caught up.
Yeah, and he got caught where he hit his own man. And you know, it's just one of those unfortunate things. Luckily, he, you know, is okay. You know, it's nothing too serious. I'm not gonna say it's not serious, because it is. Anytime you get carted off with some type of head injury, it's serious. So
they decided to cancel the game.
And they decided to cancel the game, and I think it was the right thing. Now, if it was a regular season game, I think they more than likely would have continued. They would have made sure he was okay, nothing was wrong, and then they would have continued the game. But in the preseason, there's no need. It's already the fourth quarter anyway. Let's get out of here. Let's not chance it. But I'm going to say it. I'm going to be the guy. And I don't agree with a lot of people that may have said, well, it's good that they canceled the practices here. I don't understand why they canceled the practice here. The young man is okay. Thankfully, he's okay, because it could have went a lot different, but he's okay. I don't know what his timetable is to come back. But are you still practicing as a team, New England? Yeah. Are you still traveling here to Nashville to play Saturday? Yeah. Why can't you have a joint practice. Don't blame it solely on what happened Saturday night, because I can see if it would have went a different way, then okay, maybe we need to rethink some things. But the young man is okay. Your team is going to continue to practice. It's not like you're not going to practice. I just don't understand why you don't make the trip down here and practice against the Titans and then go play the preseason game. Because again, you're not canceling the preseason game. You're not canceling your practices. You're still practicing. I don't understand it. Make it make sense to everybody, because I know there are people that may not want to say that, but they're thinking like, well, why aren't they coming here? Like, okay, I understand what happened in the game. You did the right thing by shutting the game down, making sure Isaiah was okay. He's okay. Everything's fine. Hopefully he will be back sooner rather than later. But what does that have to do with you coming here to practice? Because again, you're not canceling the game. You're still going to play Saturday. So is it
Friday?
Friday. You're still going to play Friday. So why did you cancel the game? I mean, why did you cancel the joint practices again?
And I think another factor in this is it's the Patriots. They always think
the Patriots
differently. They think outside the box.
I don't think they want to get the Titans anything to prepare. I think they're Belichick's being Belichick.
He's the one that scheduled these practices.
I'm not. I think we have to be careful because we don't know what it's like in that camp mm-hmm. right now. The emotions, all of that, the scariness of that moment.
But they're still practicing. Unless they
That's
are canceling
the
practice.
That's the thing.
And I get it. Unless you cancel practice, then okay.
I think it's a fair question from the outside. And especially, I even saw Mike Vrabel. Now, Mike Vrabel played for Bill Belichick, uh-huh. has the utmost respect, but I could tell in his answer, mm-hmm. it sounded like there was a little bit of surprise that happened. He was mm-hmm. taken a little bit by surprise that was going on. The other thing that I think about mm-hmm. when you're bringing this up is, do you think any of the shows nationally, the people that cover football, the trolls on Twitter would have said, I can't believe that the Patriots are actually going down and doing these joint practices after what happened. I really don't think that would have been.
It wouldn't have been a case.
Would
I don't
not
think.
Have been at all brought up. Would
no.
you guys agree?
I agree.
I agree.
So it's not like there was some backlash that they've avoided by doing this. I don't think anybody would have thought twice that, yeah, you continue to practice. He's okay. Scary moment. We've got to have all the discussions we always have about player safety. But
right.
this is a collision sport. Guys are going to get concussions. Even though we've hopefully reduced mm-hmm. the percentage and the chances that people will get serious concussions, the fact is that these things are going to continue to happen, and the Patriots and the Titans and every NFL team have to continue to get ready for the season.
And I don't want to sound insensitive to Isaiah Bolden True. And his condition, but I'm with you guys. You're going to still play the preseason game, and you are still going to practice in Foxborough. So what are you eliminating and canceling those joint practices? I understand that those players were probably incredibly worried and shaken up and really scared, just as I think players are whenever any scary injury like that occurs. But when you get confirmation from the doctors, from the people that are much smarter than I am, that, hey, he's going to be okay, he was released from the hospital, then okay. Whew, okay, he's going to be good. He's going to be okay. He's released from the hospital. We can move forward. I think canceling at the game at the point where it was was the right
made
move.
Sense.
It makes sense. It's the preseason. Mm-hmm. You know, let's move on from it. Everyone was shaken up. Let's go ahead and just call it from here, and then we'll go back to the hotel and we'll reevaluate what our plans are moving forward. So it was, one, the decision and also the timing. They announced the cancellation of the games not very long after the injury occurred. So were they not going to let it breathe a little bit to say, hey, let's give it a day, let's give it 48 hours, and we'll evaluate where he's at, where we're at, where our team is at as a whole? I just think it seemed unnecessary to cancel the practices. I really do. And thinking about how valuable these joint practices are and how much coaches value the time for their ones to go up against other ones now that fourth preseason game is no more. Mm-hmm. I just think that what you're getting and or what you've avoided from canceling these joint practices doesn't outweigh what you would have gained from these joint practices.
Yeah, it just doesn't. And again,
doesn't make sense to me.
Again, they may have a rash of injuries that they're dealing with, like, you know, tweaks here, hamstrings here, stuff like that, that they felt, okay, this was sort of like the last straw. We want to sort of pull back and not make the trip to for the joint practices to the Nashville. We just go in day before the game and play. So there could be other injuries that are going on within their camp that we just don't know about. So, okay, if you want to cancel a practice because of that, then okay. But again, isn't that something you would have known prior to your game this past weekend, the rash of injuries that your team has? Again, it just doesn't, to me, and I got to believe to a lot of other people, you did it so quickly that, like you said, Caroline, you didn't even give it an opportunity to breathe. Did you do it so you can get these pats on the back from everybody? Oh, the NFL is doing the right thing. Look at what they did. The right thing for you to do was what you did Saturday, cancel the remainder of the game. This what you did, you know, canceling practice, doesn't fall into that category of right things to do. That falls into the category of I'm a head scratcher. Like, why did you do it?
You can make a strong case that it's unrelated.
Exactly.
It should be unrelated.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's unrelated to what happened on the field.
And again, I can't put myself in the shoes of Bill Belichick and everybody who is sitting there watching this unfold and feeling it right there in the moment. But I'm with you.
It doesn't make sense unless you're asking Isaiah Bolton to practice. That would be idiotic. But again, make it make sense, because it right now, it don't make sense.
And you're right that it probably is. At least it would make more sense if it was something unrelated to the injury. But the release that the Patriots put out said, due to the circumstances surrounding the abrupt and unexpected ending to last night's game, the Patriots will return to Foxborough today. The joint practices that were scheduled with the Tennessee Titans on Tuesday and Wednesday are canceled. That sounds to me that they're related.
Yeah, unless, okay, not thinking about it, and I hate sort of to give New England out on this one, but they can say, well, if we travel to Nashville, he's going to be here back in Foxborough. Our doctors will be in Nashville. You know, he needs somebody. What if he needs something medically with our doctors? They're away. He's, you know, they can't get back to him. So, you know what? We're going to cancel it. We're going to stay here just in case, you know, something unforeseen happens with Isaiah. He needs, somebody needs to be there with them doctor-wise, team doctor-wise.
But okay. What happens to, let's say, Caleb Farley, who's on the PUP list? What happens to him when the Titan doctors are in Minnesota for joint practices and he's back in Nashville?
Yeah. And that's why.
It isn't the first time.
I know. And I'm sort of giving New England a way out, but I really don't want to, because that's not really, you know, a suitable answer in a sense. But again, make it make sense, because right now that press release doesn't make sense in regards to a practice 4 days later or 3 days later that he's not going to be involved in, that everybody, the doc, he's okay. It could have been much worse. Thank God it wasn't. But it seems like he's okay right now.
It doesn't add up. Yeah. But that still leaves the Tennessee Titans joint practice list this upcoming week. So how does that possibly shift the way that the Titans, one, plan practice this week, or maybe approach the third preseason game against the Patriots? We'll get into that coming up next, and I see your phones where those where are two of those coming up next as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow at 6:05 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers, AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure.
Does it maybe change how you approach the final game on Friday night as well?
I mean, potentially. You know, we'll just go through our practice days here, and we'll see where guys are and how they feel, and try to do what we think is best, and guys may play, some guys may not.
Some guys may play, and some guys may not. Thank you, Vrabel. for that expert analysis of what we can expect this week. That was Mike Vrabel at the podium again. The New England Patriots announced that they would cancel the joint practices with the Tennessee Titans this week. New England was originally scheduled to fly to Nashville after their preseason game with the Green Bay Packers. They were going to go straight from Green Bay to Nashville. Scary injury at the end of that preseason game. A rookie corner, Isaiah Bolden, got clipped and fell to the ground, was motionless. Really scary moment in the game. But the Patriots have provided an update that he got released from the hospital, that he's going to be okay. But that the Patriots were going to return to Foxborough and not come to Nashville, subsequently canceling the joint practices with the Titans. And look, this is not going to be the first time that a hitch is thrown in your plan or in your schedule. But if I'm Vrabel, I'm probably pretty frustrated with this being kind of a last-minute cancellation. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm Vrabel, I've got a plan for the preseason. I've got a plan for when I want my starters to play, against who I want my starters to play, which players are going to get nods in which games. And I mean, as we've seen, Tannehill is not going to play in a preseason game. Mm-hmm. But those joint practices are a valuable experience for a starting quarterback, for the starting offensive line, to get work against other starters. And now you don't get that opportunity. And I doubt that we're going to see Tannehill in this preseason game against the Patriots. But if you're Vrabel, do you pivot on that approach?
Also, another factor is, and I know that this has to resonate with players and coaches, just the excitement of playing a team that doesn't know the plays.
Yes.
By this time in the preseason, I know when I was playing college basketball, we had a long preseason. The rules were such you could start on October 15th, but instead of starting the regular season now in college basketball, which is early November, you couldn't start until after Thanksgiving. So we had 6 weeks of only playing each other in practice. And I was on the second team a lot when I saw the play call. You better know. You knew I knew the play.
I know
exactly.
This one.
I know exactly what's coming. That you can't not know.
Yeah.
Right? It's your job to know. Like, it's hard to evaluate that sometimes, right? Is Donick a good defender or does he just know the play?
Yeah.
The coaches had to figure that out, right? So when you're going up against another team, it's much easier to evaluate. It's a better way to evaluate. Mm-hmm. So I can see some frustration from the Titans angle. Mike Vrabel said all the right things, but especially with young quarterbacks, young receivers, you're trying to – the new offensive line, this is valuable time. Valuable reps that I don't think you can get as much out of a regular practice at this stage of training camp.
Yeah, you're not. And that's why, you know, I can sit here and be a conspiracy theorist and say, well, Belichick did it for a reason. He saw that, you know, Vrabel hadn't played his starter, so he didn't want to give him extra time to play against somebody else in practice, so because he's not going to play them. You know, in the last game. So we can go down this rabbit hole with Bill Belichick if we want to. But I just think because these games become so valuable, these joint practices, and you see more teams starting to schedule them. Why? Because we only get 3 preseason games. And a lot of teams will not dare play a lot of their starters in this preseason. So the only work they get outside of themselves is the joint practices. So like you said, Willie, they prepare for this. They put together their schedule way in advance. This is what we're going to do. These are the things that we're thinking. This is who we want to play against their first team defense. This is going to get the bulk of the reps with the second team, the third team. They have all this stuff written down. Now, things can change, you know, small things. But to scrap the whole practice after – we've did all of this, and not to say that New England didn't do the same thing, because they did, but we did all of this to prepare to make sure our starters, because I don't want to play them in the preseason, that they get game-like reps with against another team. Now that has been scratched and scrapped. Now as a head coach, I got to rethink this. Okay, I may have to play Ryan Tannehill a series. I may have to play D-Hop a series. Chig has already played. The offensive line is going to play no matter what. But some of these guys on offense, not necessarily on defense, but on offense, I'm going to possibly have to play them now because we're not getting those joint practices that would have sort of been a substitute for this last preseason game.
Do you think he's going to play them?
I wouldn't be surprised.
You wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
I would be shocked and floored.
I wouldn't be surprised if I guess a lot of it does depend on, too, is if Will Levis is healthy enough to play. If Will Levis is healthy enough to play, then I believe Ryan Tannehill will not play. Or if he does, it may be a series. That's it. Derrick Henry, I don't think he plays at all, no matter what. But getting D-Hop out there just to get him a catch. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to throw you something quick. Get to the ground. Let's go. You're out of the game. Just to kind of get you in a little bit of rhythm. But, I wouldn't be surprised if those starters play, because the offensive line has played already and they're going to continue to play. Chig has played, and I think based on last game, his ass need to play a little bit more, you know? So I don't think Derrick Henry plays. Tannehill may, D-Hop may, but that's it, because now that you've taken these joint practices away from us, you know, we may need to get some game-type situation play from a few more of our starters, meaning a quarterback and D-Hop. But Derrick Henry, no. Regardless of what happens, he's not going
to
play.
It's forcing him to at least rethink it.
Exactly.
Say, okay, right. We were going to do this. Now we don't have this, and so what do we do on Friday? Mm-hmm. You probably have to have that discussion. Did you ever have a coach, D-Mace, come to you as a veteran and say, D-Mace, do you want a couple plays? Do you want to get in this game? And does he ever give you the choice, a veteran player, whether you play in the preseason game or not?
No, typically it's, you know, but Willie, it was different then, because we knew, you know, first game was going to be a series. That's it.
Yeah.
Second game was going to be two series. Third game was going to be until the halftime or a series after halftime. Fourth game was nothing. We were not going to be in the game. So we knew going in as players, veteran players, what was going to happen, how many plays we were going to, or how many series we were going to play.
It was very conventional to do that.
Exactly. Absolutely. Now it's totally different. So,
like, I'm curious about Aaron Rodgers. It's been a big deal made. Aaron Rodgers will play. He'll make his Jets debut in the third preseason game. I wonder if they went to Aaron Rodgers and said, hey, Aaron, you want to play a couple series, and gave him a shot? I do wonder.
Yeah, they may have, because you got to
understand. Or was that the owner saying, hey, I really want to see Aaron Rodgers, paying him all this money? I don't know.
Be. I mean, but from the last preseason game to when they actually play, I think it's, what, 10 days, 2 weeks almost. So I would tend to believe now, since we don't have these joint practices, Vrabel wants to get some look at his offense as a whole, together, minus Derrick Henry, but together, in a game-like situation.
I mean, if Mike Vrabel did play the starters, Tannehill, first-team offensive line needs to play no matter
what.
Yeah,
they need to play no matter what.
Tannehill, really, and DeAndre Hopkins, I guess that would really be the only two.
Those are the three. Henry, Tannehill, and DeAndre Hopkins would be the three that I might consider going to and say,
I wouldn't,
you guys want
Derrick
a couple
Henry,
series?
I wouldn't. He don't have to play. Yeah. Derrick is one guy that don't have to play.
If he does decide to play them, I would agree with that decision.
Yeah.
Because it's in-game reps. It's the last opportunity that you're going to be able to get to go up against another team. At least get them in for a series or two. And you might say, well, what benefit is it to Ryan Tannehill to throw three passes in one series in a preseason game? Well, I don't know. But we said the same thing about the offensive line. The offensive line got one series in that first game against Chicago, and we thought, okay, we like what we saw. Maybe they've got a little bit more confidence going into this upcoming week. Maybe we feel a little bit more confident in this offensive line. So there's a lot that can come from one series. So I would agree with the decision to play the starters. I would have agreed whether you had the joint practices with New England or not. But especially since you don't have those joint practices, since this starting offensive line and Tannehill and this first-team offense as a whole won't get the opportunity to see another team outside of this preseason game. So I'd agree with it, but I would be shocked if Mike Vrabel does make that decision just because, for whatever reason, he doesn't play the starters. I was even shocked to see Chig out there on Saturday in Minnesota. But let's get your thoughts on this coming up next. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, TD in 30 minutes. 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays. Hey, your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is back. So sign up today at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports. The Titans' joint practices with the Patriots are canceled this week. The Patriots put out a statement yesterday on Twitter announcing that the joint practices were canceled. A really scary situation in the Patriots preseason game with the Packers. Rookie corner Isaiah Bolden went down, was motionless on the field. Luckily, all the updates that we've gotten have been positive. He has been discharged from the hospital, but the Patriots have decided to go back to Foxborough instead of traveling to Nashville for the joint practices. But I think we all agree, seems a little fishy. Something's not exactly adding up here with the cancellation of the practices. I don't want to be insensitive to Isaiah Bolden's situation, but he's okay. He's going to be okay from everything that we've heard. Mm-hmm. But we have some texts in our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, on the situation. And Gover texted in, said, is it possibly a cost-saving move, less hotel costs, etc.? I can't imagine that it would be. I mean, we're talking billionaires.
This is not the Montreal Expos from 1995. Yeah, we don't have any money.
Yeah, this is not going to be a, hey, you only get one topping on your pizza kind of situation because you can't afford the two toppings. I mean,
wouldn't they still have to pay? I'm sure the hotel is not like, okay, y'all good. Go ahead about your business. Because they block these days out in a lot of rooms. So essentially, you still got to pay for it anyway,
I'm thinking. Yeah. And I don't think that, you know, Robert Kraft and the New England Patriots organization is looking to pinch pennies.
Yeah.
But Gover Texan as well says, didn't two other teams just release a joint statement canceling their practices too? Yes, the Texans and the Saints had joint practices scheduled for this week in New Orleans, I believe. I don't know why they canceled them, but they did cancel them.
I guess you can get to a point where, to them, again, I don't know what their injury situation is on their teams. But I guess you get to a point where, you know, it seemed like it's been a long, grueling camp, which I would then tell you, you don't know what long and grueling is when it comes to camps. But, you know, in today's football, they may look at it as, listen, we've gotten enough work. And mutually agreed in that situation, New Orleans situation, that, okay, we're going to pull back. We don't need to have the joint practices. We'll just play the game. Now, that may have been something that both teams initially talked about and were in agreement with. This situation, I think, it's different because, you know, I think from all that we know, Vrabel and the Titans were ready to host the New England Patriots on a joint practice. And then because of what happened Saturday, that practice will no longer happen. But the game will.
The game is still happening.
The game's still happening.
They're going to have to travel to Nashville anyway.
Yeah, so
it's just a matter of when.
I don't get it, but it's not my team.
I want your thoughts on this because, I mean, you've been there, D-Mace. You've practiced. You've had 2-a-days in the grueling heat in the middle of July in Tennessee. A bunch of texters have texted in about them possibly canceling the practices because of how hot it's going to be this week.
Yeah, hot. Hot. You're talking about heat? You're talking about heat? We're talking about playing in the NFL and you're talking about heat. No, just saying.
But it's a fair point.
No, it's not a fair point. It still doesn't make sense.
You have a fair point.
It's our,
this is the NFL.
It's the NFL. Like,
are you too hot? I'm sorry.
It's not like it's 125 degrees out there. If the game, a preseason game, if the preseason game and it started and it was 100 degrees, you think the NFL is going to stop the game? No, they're not. Get out there and play. Turn up those fans in that mist and hydrate and you'll be fine. I don't know. I would tend to believe it has nothing to do with the heat whatsoever, because it's not like the Titans are saying, you know what, we don't want to practice because it's too hot. Hell, it's going to be hot, I'm sure, in New England on the East Coast. So I understand why the texter would say, you know, maybe it's because it's too hot and, you know, you want to be cautious in situations like that. But the NFL has never stopped the game because of the heat or practice because of the heat. You know, they just go inside. So, again, I don't think it necessarily has anything to do with the heat.
Do you think they play inside, practice inside this week? Because part of me says, yes, you know, don't put your players in that kind of condition. But also, in that same breath, it's hot in September in Tennessee.
Yeah, you got to play in it.
And you're going to be playing games outside in September in Tennessee.
You got to play in it.
I would say, too, that in the last 5 to 10 years in particular, there have been a lot of studies. And now you have people that measure that heat index. And if it gets up above a certain number, not just straight up degrees, but all of the conditions around with humidity and heat index and all that stuff, if it gets to a certain level, that's when you do it. The decision is sort of made for you day to day. You don't decide ahead of time, but it's just, it gets to an unsafe level and you say, all right, let's go inside. Simple enough. Or you practice earlier in the morning if you think it's going to be like that.
Yeah, I don't know what an unsafe level of heat is other than, you know, I guess once you get into triple digits, you know, then, okay, we got to reevaluate something. But, yeah, and again, I can say this, but it's a new NFL, and they do things a lot different than what they used to. So I'm understanding of that as well. So, it, you know, if they say it's too hot or they're thinking in their mind it's too hot, then, okay, I get it. You know, I think you just need to, you know, hydrate some more. Get on out there because you ain't going to stop a game when it's 95 to 100 degrees. Hell, if it's 110, the NFL is not stopping the game.
It's football, baby.
It's football. You go out there and you play.
Glenn texts in and disagrees with you, D-Mace, on Derrick Henry. Says, everyone says that Henry doesn't or shouldn't play in the preseason. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to see him get hurt. But he has been a slow starter when it comes to the first few games of the season. Wouldn't it be good to get him a few plays just to get real hits?
I mean, I understand what the texter is saying. I just don't, you know, would it, I mean, he would benefit from going out there. I get it. But I don't want to chance it because, you know, we talked off air, and I said, listen, this offense, it's not an explosive offense. If one of you see Traylon's down, and this offense looks different, it's going to look different without him. Hopefully, you know, he can play in the first game. If he can't, then hopefully subsequently after that, he's back sooner rather than later. But this is not, if you just look at it from man to man, you know, the depth chart, this is not an explosive offense. It's not. And I can't take a chance in hell of losing my one guy. If Derrick Henry goes down, this offense is struggling. I mean, they are struggling. So I don't want to even go down that road. I understand what the texter is saying, though, you know, but I wouldn't even chance it. I don't think Vrabel's going to chance it.
I don't think he's even going to chance it with Tannehill.
Yeah, you might be right on that one, too.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. So on Friday, I was filling in for Jared. It was Adam Fingan and myself. I asked the question to Adam, to our texters, to our callers, our listeners. I said, if I don't watch the soccer game on Saturday, am I a bad sports fan? Basically, the consensus was, yeah. So I watched the game. I wanted to avoid being a bad sports fan. I watched the soccer game on Saturday, and I had an absolute blast. So I'm going to get into that coming up next. And where does Nashville SC go from here after being at the epicenter of the global soccer world? We'll explain coming up next and Nick Frazier's experience on the field at Geodis Park. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Gary, this one went down literally to the last moment. Your guys put up a heck of a fight and were the better for the majority of the night. I guess, how do you look at this one and what do you say when you head into the locker room?
Well, this is a bitter pill to swallow, this one. I think we can safely say when penalties go down to the goalkeepers that there's not been an awful lot to choose between the teams. I would honestly say my first emotions are that we were the better team tonight. We created the better chances. And to be perfectly honest, if it wasn't for the man of the moment in their group, we would have won tonight. The goal that he scores is just incredible, out of nothing. And with his only other shot on goal, he hits the post. I mean, I don't know too many teams that have limited Lionel Messi to a few opportunities, or this group, they've been exceptional in this tournament. But I thought our guys left absolutely everything on the field. They played with their heart on their sleeves. And to be honest, as I said, I thought we deserved a little bit more.
A lot to be proud of. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us.
That was Gary Smith, head coach of Nashville SC. I mean, all eyes of the soccer world were fixated on the city of Nashville this past weekend, which is pretty wild to think about. Lionel Messi is in town, and of course, naturally, all of the soccer world is going to be focused on wherever Messi is at. But, I mean, the ticket prices that were just absolutely astronomical for the Nashville SC game on Saturday, I think was a testament to how huge it was. The atmosphere, the environment, Giannis was there, Reese Witherspoon, part owner, was there. It was absolutely insane. And I watched the game on Saturday. This was, I think, the first Nashville SC game that I have watched this season in its entirety. And I really had such a great time. And it came down to the wire. Didn't fall Nashville SC's way. And Nashville SC loses it in penalty kicks. But I enjoyed the game, one, because it was such a great game. I mean, it came down to the wire. It was so close. It was neck and neck. And I think the second part of it, too, was I watched it at a bar. And it was really the first time that I felt like, okay, this can be a soccer town. Like, everyone that was there was decked out in Nashville SC stuff. Every TV, even with the Titans preseason game on that night, all the TVs were on the Nashville SC game. It was crowded. It was rowdy. People were cheering. Even the people that went, it looked like, that didn't go to watch the Nashville SC game, you know, not in Nashville SC gear, weren't really watching the full game. Even their eyes were glued to the TV, and they were cheering at the end of the game. So it was a great game, first of all, and it looked like a great outing. And really, overall, to me, it felt like, okay, now I see the soccer fandom out. But now my question is, what is Nashville SC going to do to be able to continue that momentum to gain new fans and to hold on to those new fans? How are you going to take advantage of the opportunity of being at the epicenter of the soccer world?
I would equate it back to 2017 when the Predators made the Stanley Cup final. I think they're hoping to grab your attention, people like you,
they
a
got
little
my
bit
attention.
More.
Mm-hmm.
Just if you enjoyed it, hopefully they think you want to come back to another game. And when you do come back, they hope that you have a good time. I mean, that, I think that's – it's pretty simple. I do think there are some things, too, that they can do to take advantage. I would say this, too, the way – they have a sneaky big fan base. It's not the kind of group that calls radio shows that much, it's at least a large section of them. It's not the kind of group that – quite honestly, cares how the Titans do a lot of times. They just love soccer. There's just a sneaky big group of people in our city because our city has grown so much as a sports town that it's kind of its own thing. And that's good and bad because I do think part of the fun of a sports team is to get in the mainstream of the city to make it a true sports team that you really feel is major league. And this just went a long way. When you get the best player of the world coming in, you have such an exciting, memorable event. Hopefully that will help with that. I think the Predators have gone through a similar growth pattern, and they were starting from lower, right? Because there was less people interested in hockey when the team came here than there were people that play and are interested in soccer. It's just a matter of taking the people that play and have experience with soccer and making them want to come to your games.
Unfortunately, for me, I think that this was a one-time thing. It's what it was. It was a moment, and everybody jumped on the moment. And you saw crowds in bars that were bigger than they've ever been because of the moment. I understand what you're saying in regards to the Predators, but the difference is the Predators are the highest level of hockey. And you're going to always see good hockey, whether someone's coming in, whether it's the players, you're getting the guys that are at the top of their game. Unfortunately, I think there are people that look at MLS and it's not the top tier of soccer.
Right.
So when a guy like Messi comes in, I'm watching. I may not love hockey, soccer, but I'm watching because Messi's playing, because I may not ever get a chance to see Messi plays. But the minute Messi gets on that plane and goes back to Miami, it goes back to what it originally was. You have your base of diehard soccer fans that are always going to – that stadium is always going to be filled. Beautiful stadium. The team's good. They're going to fill that stadium. But when you talk about going to bars and the bars are packed, unfortunately, it's not going to happen. I don't know if it ever will happen to that number that we saw this past weekend, because there's not a Messi on every other team, or Messi coming in, or Neymar or Mbappe coming in to play. These are superstars, like iconic players. So even if you don't like soccer, you're just like a casual soccer fan. When Messi comes in or these guys, you're going to go watch no matter where it is, because you want to be able to say, I was in the room
right when
those guys played. Now they've exit stage left. It's going to go back to what it originally was. It wasn't bad, but it just wasn't what it was Saturday.
What do you think, if they were to take this, when we say, where do they go from here, and they make a run for the MLS title, which is the next big chapter for them, right? There's still, what, Nick, 10 games left,
yes.
And then hopefully playoffs. And, you know, they've won some playoff games. They've they've gone on some little mini runs before.
Two semifinal appearances.
They're good enough.
Now, if they win the championship, of course, I think they're going to pick up more fans.
Yeah.
I think they are.
But what's interesting about that is that happens in November, December,
mm-hmm.
when you're in the throes of football. So
exactly.
Trying to grab the spotlight.
And then basketball is coming.
And hockey.
You got these other American sports that are playing now, like original American sports that are playing, and you're going to gravitate more to those. Why? Because the NFL is coming down to that wire where you're fighting for playoff positioning. Christmas time basketball is now ramped up, and you're getting the matchups that you want to see. Hockey is starting to ramp up again as well. So now my attention is pulled in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Again, soccer's going to have their fans. They just are. If they are able to go on a run and win a championship, they are going to grab even more fans. But it will not – I don't think it will ever be to the point that we saw this past weekend, unless some of these superstar international players start coming over here to play.
Yeah.
That's in my opinion.
I think we'll see.
Yeah.
I'll just say we'll see due to the fact that Messi will be here again in Nashville mm-hmm. another 2-3 times, and that's next year and the following year, and possibly 2 times in 1 calendar year like mm-hmm. this upcoming season with the Leagues Cup. This is why the MLS and whoever was a part of the Leagues Cup, that's why they did this tournament for the middle of the summer, is because nothing's going on. This would be basically the Super Bowl of North American soccer in a roundabout
way. Take advantage of the calendar.
Yeah, exactly.
Whenever you're inherently going to be up against the calendar, because I think that sometimes there's just inherent hurdles, like the timing
mm-hmm.
of, you know, your season's in October and November. Sorry, you're third or fourth in the pecking order that time of year in the sports calendar. The second thing is the accessibility to the games.
Mm-hmm.
I had a great time watching the game on Saturday. I had a lot of fun, really enjoyed it. But I didn't think, you know what, I'm going to whip up my phone and get an Apple TV Plus subscription so I can watch every single game. So that's another kind of inherent hurdle.
Yeah, and I wonder how many people do, because that's
mm-hmm. right.
There's another cross-section of fans that are huge soccer fans that maybe are a little, you know, with their background. I'm watching the English Premier League. Like you said, Derek, I'm watching the best.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'll pay for the subscription, but I'm going to watch it in England. I'm going to watch the best players in the world. That's where I'm going to spend. If you can get some of those people to say, well, Messi's coming, or hey, I'll jump on this bandwagon. You know, because I think that's a process. They don't have all of those fans.
No.
Yet, but I think this might have helped them get some of those more, actual soccer fans.
I think with the Sam Surge signing, because he's a former Premier League player, that's kind of helping the transition of new fans come into.
You almost had it, Nick. You almost had it. His take it to the bank was Surge was going to score. He had, what, 2 or 3 good chances?
A wide open shot, too.
Oh, I was feeling for you.
Yeah. But hey, I mean, college football is not necessarily the premier league in football. Mm-hmm. I still love college football and watch college football. I mean, the Sounds aren't the best league mm-hmm. in baseball, but I still love going to Sounds games. But I do think, especially with the soccer crowd, mm-hmm. that there is maybe a sense of looking down upon the MLS because it isn't the premier, and I'm saying the Premier League. I know it's not literally the Premier League.
Top tier.
But I mean
league.
Like top the, a top tier league mm-hmm. in soccer. I do think within soccer spaces that makes a difference.
I equate it sort of. I guess it may not be a good analogy in a sense, but, you know, say for instance, if, you know, the D League, NBA D League, and there's a lot of good players in the D League, you know, because they aspire to be in the NBA. So there's a lot of good players that play good college ball during the D League. Okay, if Giannis and LeBron and Stephen, when name another player, I don't know, four or five NBA players choose to play a game.
KD
plays. Yeah, KD. If one or, you know, I would say Ja, but come on, Ja. But if one of those five or six players choose to play a game at the D League, they would pack out the gym. Everybody would be coming to see them and say if they were playing in a little small town. But once they're not there anymore, it goes back to what it used to be. And I'm not saying the MLS is like the D League, but it's a lower level soccer. Now there's
compared
some great
compared
to the best of the world. Now there's some great players within the MLS, uh-huh. but it's not the best of the best, you know, as far as league wise.
Fair point. TD will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMay is 1025-1063 the game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.